Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us today on Alien Talk Podcast, a program where we discuss all things about aliens and UFOs, and where we always push the limits of our understanding. A big happy new year to all. We are your hosts, Joe Landry and Rory Olford. This is the first show of 2024, and we're glad to have you here with us for a new lineup of topics as we start to make another pass around the sun, as I like to say. So, Rory, in 2023, we took the program into some new directions and into some new territory, so to speak. As you recall, we explored subjects that are a little more abstract, ones that surround the notions of metaphysics, the mind, immortality, and the mystery of our consciousness. You know, like, what is it that brings all of the substance of our minds together? What is really going on inside of our thought processes? So we asked some pretty deep and complex questions about the human mind and about spirituality, which are deep and difficult topics to sometimes ponder.
Yeah, right. And we also got into some other issues that are a little, I'll say, controversial and prone to lead to hot debate, such as the end times and biblical prophecy and the existence of a Messiah who many believe is going to return. Now, not to mention the idea of our origins being more extraterrestrial than many would consider or even want to really believe. But we also hit on some current events that you and I thought pertinent to discuss on the show, such as the Chinese spy balloon, the 911 call that made the news about a giant alien in Las Vegas, and some of the latest headlines about government disclosure and how Congress is, as well as the American people, are passionately wanting more answers about ETs and UFOs. So in 2023, we touched on quite a few issues that are very active and relevant in people's minds. Obviously, the internet is ablaze with all of this stuff, and there are links and articles everywhere that cover it.
Yeah, and even in a day and age when news and information of all kinds is disseminated around the world in a matter of seconds, we find that the subject of alien life is one of the most dominant. So according to a Gallup poll in 2021 that was reported by CNN, 75% of Americans now believe that alien life exists somewhere in the universe. And that's up a few points from the ones that were conducted just a few years, so I should say, you know, 5 years or more before that one in 2021. So this whole trend is becoming something of a cultural phenomenon. People are taking more notice of the stories and the reports. And with that, Alien Talk Podcast is now entering the ninth season with the start of the new year. And that, I think, attests to the growing interest out there in the ancient astronaut theory and, you know, just the existence of extraterrestrial intelligence in general.
Yeah, I think you are precisely correct about that, Joe. Even more clergymen in the church involving, you know, more than one denomination are starting to discuss this topic of alien life. They're trying to explain to their congregations what their thoughts are about it, as well as how, you know, they think it fits into Scripture and God's plan. That seems to be happening more frequently now, even though some of them still teach it as being nothing more than a manifestation of Satan. So, yeah, it's definitely an issue that is on the move among people, and we can all see that. And for this year, our plan here at Alien Talk Podcast is to get more out into our into other domains, you know, and present to you some episodes of what other podcasters and book authors have to say about all of this. So we have more guests who are due to come on the show who have done some specific research into these subjects or even have had some close encounter experiences themselves to tell about. What we would like to do is to have more people on so you are not just hearing our two boring voices all the time.
Yeah, we can be quite the chatterboxes, Laurie. Yeah, you're right about that. But that's how it is when you're passionately interested in something. You can get very talkative and very long-winded, as we do.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like we are similar to those Sunday morning long-winded preachers.
I don't think we're nearly that bad.
Probably not.
So, of course, we have had guests on quite a few times since the show began back in 2021, but it's always been kind of sporadic. We would like to start making that more of the norm. We have episodes with guests, with a guest speaker on. And as it is for our show after this one, we've invited Nancy Thames to come on. Some of you may actually have listened to her on other podcasts or seen her on YouTube. She is an extraterrestrial experiencer who has reportedly made contact with other alien and interdimensional life forms on several occasions. Nancy has also worked for the U.S. Department of Defense, and she currently maintains a website that facilitates open dialogue with people who, like her, are said to have had numerous encounters with ETs. And I'm sure she'll have some fascinating things to relate to us from her unique knowledge, as well as to share from her professional experience with the government, particularly as to why she believes we are getting closer and getting nearer to a full disclosure.
Yeah, and we are planning to have quite a few guests lined up for this season, hopefully, who have some fascinating stories to share, and not to mention some meaningful insight into many of the subjects that we've brought before here on the show. However, for today, we're going to cover an incident that mostly seems to have been just glossed over in the annals of the UFO stories. And that is the one that occurred in Virginia, Brazil, in 1996. And of course, it always makes me wonder when a story like this gets kicked to the side, kicked to the curb, just like the Trinity incident. That one was huge, and yet almost nothing about it surfaced for a long time. So when you get such little coverage, it could be because something really significant came about from it. I myself never really gave this one too much thought until just recently. But anyway, I mean, this is quite an amazing story. In fact, the city of Virginia, Brazil, was so affected by it that they built a water tower there in the shape of a flying saucer. But this reminds me of a lot of what happened in the town of Clarenville, Newfoundland, where the folks were so influenced and impacted by the UFO sighting there, they named their hockey team the Clarenville UFOs. So it's one of those places where the encounter or the event is so pronounced that it literally leaves a permanent mark on it.
Right. It is a pretty dramatic tale. This is sometimes called Brazil's Roswell, and it occurred in the city of Virginia, which is about 240 miles northwest of Rio de Janeiro. It's in a pretty forested area. Just like with the actual Roswell incident, this entire account involves a crash of an object from the sky, the appearance of a being or multiple beings who are not from Earth and who are said to have come from out of that crash, the removal of wreckage debris, all under tight security, the death of the beings, and the secretive whereabouts of the body or bodies, a myriad of conflicting and inconsistent witness reports, and of course, a whole lot of cover-ups. So it began on January 20th, 1996, with three young girls named Lilian Silva, Alquiera Silva, and Katia Javier, who were outside on a warm winter's day in tropical Brazil. I guess at that time of year, it's summer down there. Anyway, it was then that they witnessed a strange alien-looking creature lurking around. At the moment they saw it, they immediately thought it was the devil himself, and they became very frightened. The women described it as having a large head with large red eyes and a rather sinister in appearance.
And notice also how the girls described the alien as having, you know, those red eyes. Like, remember how we mentioned another creature described as having red eyes? The Mothman, right? Many believe that this was a possible alien sighting as well, and was more commonly referred to as a Mothman because it looks so much like a moth, just a lot larger. Maybe it looked like that guy in the Aquaman movie, the bad guy. I can't remember his name. He's got these big red eyes glowing. But we can see, you know, with all of this, we can see all these similar stories from all over the place, and they're connected to some in some way or another.
Yeah, and of course, reports of sightings of cryptids like this are pretty common throughout Latin America, you know, considering that there's a plethora of wildlife in the jungles and rainforest, some of which is inhabited by species that are yet to be identified. And there are a lot of chupacabra stories and similar stories like that in that region. So this sighting later became known as the E.T. de Virginia. And all the three of the girls said, both then as children and today as adults, that the thing was not human. They told reporters that they were so frightened by what they had seen that they became numb with fear, paralyzed. They couldn't move. And after a few minutes of staring at the thing in just sheer terror, the thing, which they said was rather tiny, it had limped off. And then the three girls ran home and then told her mother about what happened. And they also said that the creature looked sick or possibly injured, since it seemed to have difficulty with walking steadily. It kind of just limped and staggered around and, you know, limped away. So now, their story came a few days after another one in which witnesses reported seeing a UFO in the sky, which subsequently crashed.
Yeah, so this should sound familiar, and that's because it unfolds in much the same way as did the Las Vegas alien incident that occurred earlier this year. As you recall, with that, there was a bright ball of light, like a meteor or something, that was falling. I guess it was seen falling from the sky over Las Vegas, which, by the way, was caught on a police body camera. And then just 30 minutes later, there is a 911 call from the teenager named Juan from somewhere in the city, who says that he sees an 8-foot alien in his backyard. So he too said that he was numb with fear after making eye contact with it. But with this one in Virginia, there are reports that give a more detailed description of the object that they had witnessed. And one witness named Carlos de Souza claimed that it was a spacecraft and that it was shaped like a submarine that was about the size of a school bus. And he also said that he could see white smoke leaking out of it, and that it looked like a malfunctioning washing machine with the way it was, you know, rocking and jerking around as it careened to the ground. And this made me think that the craft was badly damaged by something.
Yeah, and later there were others saying that they saw, the strange-looking being. So apparently there was more than one, and they seemed like they were hurt or fatally ill. And then they were at a nearby hospital. So at a nearby hospital, the whole place was inundated with military and government personnel. It was essentially blocked off. I mean, it was off limits to anybody else except for personnel who were there, doing whatever they had to do for this being that was in the hospital, and no one else was allowed to go inside. Now, there was even a report of a police officer dying after having handled the alien, or one of them. According to a blog on gadgetonus.com by Brett Jackson, dated November 9th, 2022, Marco Eli Charisse died after receiving a generalized infection from touching the extraterrestrial body. There are statements from Charisse's family members and other witnesses who were close to him and close to the case, and they said that he may have actually died more not from an infection, but from the creature's claws, and that he was attacked by it, like a chupacabra.
Yeah, and in a featured documentary made by De Souza, Charisse's sister, Martha Tavares, is interviewed, where she says that she was informed about her brother having acute septicemia due from being exposed to toxic chemicals. None of the medical files ever confirmed that, but, you know, Charisse supposedly also had some pretty bad lacerations on his body, which could mean he was viciously attacked by something with sharp claws. A cardiologist named Cesario Lincoln Furtado, who looked at Charisse, came forward years later to say he does not know at all how he died. To him, the cause of death was a mystery that he had not been able to explain. Martha continued to investigate this, to look for the proof that her brother was killed by an alien, either from being attacked by it or from, you know, some kind of contamination from it. The Brazilian government, not surprisingly, refuses to say anything, of course.
Now, to be sure, whenever these kind of stories start to get some attention, a lot of hysteria starts to follow. This one is no exception. There was even a news outlet that ran an excerpt in Portuguese that one of the three girls, either Liliana, Valqueira, or Katia, it didn't specify which one, might have been impregnated by this creature. Of course, there is no confirmation of that at all. So we're always going to get that. A lot of things that seem like hoax or conspiracy theory. And there are indeed going to be a lot of details and versions of the various accounts and how they are inaccurate and completely false. So that is a given. And we must, what we must do is be sober-minded investigators and look at the facts that we have, not at what we can speculate from the most impassioned or the most extraordinary testimonies that are made available. So what we do know is that something happened. Something crashed. People saw that something crash, and government agencies did get involved with it and then kept it quiet. And actually, with this incident, it appears that not only the Brazilian Air Force, but also the U.S. Air Force was involved. According to Michael Schellenberger with the New York Post, dated October 29th, 2022, there were reports that two creatures, at least two, were captured by Brazilian soldiers and police officers and then taken to a hospital. And with that, they were turned over after that point, after they were left the hospital, I guess the creature was taken out of the hospital. It was turned over to the U.S. military. And these bodies, unknown if they were alive or dead at that point, were taken away to an unknown location.
Yeah, and also that there are several people who have come forward to say they are eyewitnesses. Now, granted that many of them don't go public right away, that's typical with a lot of major UFO incidents or any major occurrence for that matter. However, with this case, the three girls gave a statement to the press pretty close to the time that they saw the creature, and also gave the same account when they were interviewed as grown adults for the documentary. There is also a former air traffic controller who said that there was more than a few American helicopters that landed unannounced in Campinas near Virginia in order to collect something, and then they went away. Now, interestingly enough, there is a whistleblower who remained completely anonymous, as you might guess. And he claims that he was involved with transporting the body of one of these alien creatures from the hospital to the airbase in Campinas, where it was given over to the U.S. Air Force. So he goes only by the name of Military X, and he has come forth with his testimony to various journalists and filmmakers. One of them being James Fox, who produced the 2022 documentary titled Moment of Contact. Now, Joe, you and I have actually been able to get a hold of some of these pictures and correspondence by Military X, and we're able to look them over ourselves.
Right. So they're emails with photo attachments. The text is in Portuguese, but the photos, which are black and white, show objects in the sky. The ones we saw didn't have the alien body. Now, there is another guy who has come forward with his account, a ufologist named Vittorio Pacicini, who said that back in 2012, a senior Brazilian officer showed him a 35-second video clip of one of the aliens. I guess you can call being, taken into custody at that point, as it was then going to be transported away by the soldiers. Now, he also talked to James Fox and described what he saw in the clip, which was that this creature had brown skin and that it had an oily or greasy coating on its body, and it had a big head with large red eyes and no pupils. He said the face was like that of a reptile, and it had three protuberances on the top of its head, like horns. Additionally, he said that the thing seemed like it was about to die, and it made this buzzing sound like a bee. So supposedly, Pacassini has received death threats for his local writing about this story over in Brazil. This has compelled him to move out of the country. Now, currently lives in Italy.
Yeah, that or he was really terrified by because that description you just gave, no wonder they thought of that it was a devil. But now a few things are important to note and elaborate upon in what we just mentioned, is that there are many who will naysay and assert that the whole thing is a big hoax. And it is true that we can't completely rule out that as a possibility, I guess, but I mean, it could very well have been an elaborate concoction, but I mean, let's look at the details first before the assumptions are made. Because first, we must ask the question why? Like, why was this reported in this particular place at this particular time? And you even have reports from NORAD where they're advising the Brazilian military of an object that's entering their airspace.
Right. Why was this thing reported at all? Why do we have several reports that actually corroborate, like you're saying? Not only we have this local report in Virginia, but we have information from NORAD corroborating and saying the same thing. I agree. Now, these three girls that you mentioned, they describe this alien as being sick and injured, like we said, and that is a detail that seems strange to fabricate. I mean, what would be the purpose of saying that? Why sick and injured? Why not fierce and aggressive, or for that matter, even sweet and lovable, like our little pal ET, right?
You don't like him, Joe.
he's okay. but whatever they saw, even if it was a human, their emotional response to it was fear. That is the most reasonable expectation to be gathered from hearing them say that they were afraid. And so it is just as reasonable to presume that they at least perceived it as being injured or in bad shape because that's what they said. So we can ask the same questions in the case of that teenager named Juan, who was in Las Vegas and made that report about the 8-foot-tall creature that he saw in his yard. You ask, why would he make this up and go as far as calling 911? Now, we can't rule out the possibility that he did feign the whole thing for whatever reason, but calling it in the way he did, it certainly does up the ante in terms of telling a tall tale. You can get in trouble for making a false report, right? So you have something to risk now. You have to ask, what is a more reasonable expectation that he would be willing to risk getting caught making a false report and getting into serious trouble just for the sake of pulling off a gag, or that he truly believed himself that he saw something, don't know what, and that really could be anything, and that that something frightened him enough to call for help.
Yeah, and all of this, coincidentally, 30 minutes after a meteor is seen exploding into air by other people elsewhere in the city. And that kid and his family had no charges brought against them for false reporting to law enforcement. That incident was captured on police body cam footage as the object entered the atmosphere. The video footage of the officers entering the backyard was not made available, which is very strange. Because nothing is normally withheld from the public being able to see it. So the body cam footage, the worn by an officer, is also public record, just like a police report is. So, we find the same paradigm here with the Virginia UFO and alien or aliens. We don't have the physical evidence, but a lot of the pieces do line up. And those pieces, of course, are the testimonies given by people who were there at that time and claim to have seen something that scared them, that frightened them, that made them go numb, when they saw it.
Right, and like you mentioned the Las Vegas alien. I mean, we did cover that story pretty thoroughly back in the summer, and just like to encourage our listeners, if you haven't already, to go and listen to that episode. It's titled "The Las Vegas Alien." So we can also say that, in terms of these witnesses that had emotionally shocked them with what they saw and had psychologically impacted them in the way of their behavior in telling these stories. Meaning they exhibit such fear and almost like paralysis, this for no lack of a better word. Certainly, that factor does not, in and of itself, mean that they saw an alien. That is, we have to be honest about that. but it was a reaction to something that they perceived as not normal and thus frightening. Now, when this whole story broke in 1996, the Brazilian government official explanation for the sighting of this creature and any others is that the Virginia had a significant homeless population at the time, probably still does. And some of those homeless people were dwarfs. And one in particular had a name of Mundino, and he was apparently one of special needs or possibly mentally ill. So could that greasy looking and sickly looking little ET mistakenly be one of these individuals? Well, the girls say no, that it was something else. And, you know, that it could be one of these homeless people, but they're saying that it wasn't. They were asked that question directly and they denied that. And there's always going to be alternative hypotheses to something when we do lack that discrete and tangible evidence that can, you know, be openly examined by anybody. And even with Roswell, there were other explanations put forth about the witness claims, you know, like particularly the alien autopsies. Witnesses claimed they had seen the alien autopsies. If you remember, one of them was that the explanations for seeing these bodies was that the medical facility was working on humans. So these weren't aliens. They were humans of airmen who were killed in a plane crash, if you recall that part of the story.
Yeah, see, this story does play out a lot like Roswell, with reports of the alien bodies being seen under close guard, as well as a crash site surrounded by a large army presence that cleans up the entire place, not leaving a scrap. And also, like Roswell, you have somebody saying that saying they actually touched a piece of the debris. De Souza told Fox that he was able to pick up a fragment that looked like it was aluminum. And he said it was like a sheet and was very light, and it fell like a feather to the ground. And when he crumpled it, it would go back to its original shape. And this is exactly the way the American private described the debris pieces found at the Roswell crash.
Right. So that last part you just mentioned, that does sound a lot like what was reported in the Roswell crash. I remember that being one of the witness statements is that a soldier had picked up a piece of the debris and he crumpled it up like to a tight ball, and then he let it go. It just went right back to its original shape, like as if it had no wrinkles or creases in it.
Yeah, and that's what stuck out at me as well when I read this. You know, I was reading up on this, was that same thing. And to that soldier, that private with the Roswell incident, it shocked him. He's never seen anything like that before. So, but now it's also important to point out that the Virginia incident also involved complaints about a wretched smell. Like, there's an article by Frank Chung on Australian website news.com.au dated October 28th of 2022. And many of the residents of Virginia complained about the smell of rotten eggs in the days after the object had crashed. And De Souza mentioned that he immediately smelled ammonia, or, you know, something like rotten eggs, when he got out of his car. He said it was a very strong smell, so strong that his eyes started to water and that he had to cover his nose with his shirt. It was so strong.
And De Souza wasn't the only one to experience that. One of the mothers of the three girls, named Luisa, stated that it smelled worse than sulfur and that it lingered for about 3 weeks and that it was pretty bad. It was pretty, it was almost intolerable. And according to the same article with the New York Post, she mentions that she believed that she also caught a glimpse of the same creature. So she also, you know, tells the press after the girls make their statement that she says she thinks she saw the thing as well, but doesn't elaborate, of course, just reiterates what the girls had told her and says that she thought she saw it as well.
Yeah, and you have to wonder, that smell of that sulfur, that, I mean, I doubt it's coming from the alien beings or the creatures themselves, but it could very well have been have something to do with that white smoke that was seen coming out of that craft that, you know, careened and crashed into the ground. But yeah, there were even reports from sources here in the United States that indicate the the Virginia alien may have been transported to none other than Area 51, which only adds to the hysteria that the Brazilian government and the U.S. Air Force were working together. I mean, they probably still are working together, and I'm sure all part of NORAD and, you know, the U.S. government and Canadian governments are probably working together. So,
oh, yeah, that's part of U.S. Southern Command, combined commands that involve other countries. Yeah, that's ongoing.
So Carlos de Sousa gave every detailed description on Fox documentary. He said that it was floating and slowly losing altitude. It looked like a washing machine struggling, like fighting to keep its altitude. The side of it was completely torn, and it had the white smoke coming out. It wasn't black smoke like from a fire. At the time, he said, this is his quote, "At the time, I thought it was like an aircraft in trouble, an airplane. So I decided to follow it."
So he gives a very vivid description and a very, you know, detailed, very, you know, precise description. It's using rather technical jargon. He it seems like he has some knowledge of aircraft and how aircraft maneuver and fly. So it means he may have, you know, maybe had a good imagination, or maybe something really happened that got so pretty well fixed into his memory that he just has like a photographic image in his mind from seeing this, and he had the ability to give a good description almost on a technical level. You know, why did he say, you know, white smoke instead of black smoke, or even just saying smoke in general? He noted that the color was white, and, you know, the size, he took notice of the size, saying that it was a school bus. Why a school bus? Why not a truck? He said it's shaped like a submarine. He didn't say it was as big as a submarine. So he really almost painstakingly gave a description, which showed he put a lot of thought into it, or it really left an impression on him that he deliberately took note of these details. He knew something big was happening. He wanted to take note of details. So something about it made him think of school bus and submarine and washing machine. And we've all encountered similar situations when we see something and we want to compare it to something else as quickly as we can, you know, relay the information without getting into things like measurements and, you know, angles and stuff like that. And it seems pretty obvious that the whole experience profoundly impacted De Sousa, as, you know, 26 years later, when he returned to the crash location with Fox's film crew, he broke down crying. Now, you can say he faked the crying, but really, we can't tell that for sure. It could very well have been a genuine cry. Who knows? But, you know, why did he cry? If it was a genuine cry, then the incident, you know, perhaps it really was something that caused quite a bit of emotions to stir up in De Sousa, and maybe even traumatized him to a certain degree.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, what you're saying about how we relate things in similar situations, just think of that Tic Tac UFO. Those pilots were, you know, very smart people. They're intelligent people, fighter pilots. And, you know, for them to see what they saw, you know, they probably didn't have a good estimate on the size, but they were able to see its shape and its form. And the first thing that came to that pilot's mind was it looked like a flying Tic Tac.
Right. So, like, there's no better word for it than something as basic as that. Instead of getting into, you know, had the angle of, you know, 30 degrees and, you know, had a certain curvature, right, that was similar to, you know, a certain spacecraft or, you know, a design of the features. Tic Tac, that's the first thing that pops in. It's almost like it goes to a basic way of thinking when you're traumatized, when you're just simply at a loss for words.
Right. I mean, he could have came up and said a Tylenol capsule for all three, you know. Yeah,
right.
Yes. But some people came against the three young ladies and their mother, claiming they received money for the interviews. Well, I mean, so, I mean, that's okay. People get paid for interviews to, you know, to tell intriguing stories all the time. That alone doesn't make them less credible. But the moment someone receives payment telling a story like this one, it's, oh, it must be fake, or it's not true because, you know, they're making money off of it. You know, therefore, you know, they must have made it up. Mm-hmm. Now, according to Edify.app, videos were made by Vittorio Pacassini, who we mentioned him earlier. You did. with statements from soldiers and other personnel who were, you know, part of the Virginia case. One of them is named Margarita Halicock, and she was interviewed many times, which made her a great source of information. And Halicock was motivated to put all of her statements in writing, so, and get this, so that if her memory ever fails her, this experience will be preserved in the pages for all to see and read.
Interesting. Yeah, Aidify.app continued by saying that the Brazilian Army's secrecy surrounding the Virginia case suggests that there may be certain information that the population as a whole is not prepared to know. We are all familiar with this line, especially when it comes to aliens and UFOs.
Yeah, you're not prepared to know, or as the famous line goes in A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth.
That's a good line. you're right there, Lori. And with that, we'll end today's episode. We hope you all enjoyed the topic of discussion and hope that it got you thinking and, you know, wondering about all this and the many other stories that are out there that are surrounding the UFO phenomenon.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be with you all next time when we get the chance to interview Nancy Thames, well-known disclosure advocate and extraterrestrial experiencer. And we are sure it will be another great episode for you all to enjoy. So check out our website and we'll get some of those photos put up there that we were talking about earlier for all of you to see.
Thank you for joining us. As always, folks, stay safe out there and stay curious.